The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the program. This is Tuesday Speak Up Table. My name is Barbara, and today's program is one you don't want to miss. So sit, stay where you are, pull off the road, give us a listen, okay, because you're going to want to hear what my guest has to say. My guest is a colleague here at Blue Sky Broadcasting, Dr. Soren Isparescu. Dr. Soren is here to focus in on intermittent fasting and some other health issues, but we're really going to drill down and dig into the whole concept of intermittent fasting. It's a buzzword today, and we want to learn about it, and I know you do too. This has been a hot topic, and we want to approach it from the standpoint of, is it good for our health? So today, you're going to get some good information about that and about different versions of that that you may want to implement in your life. So stay with us today. We'll be back with information that you can use.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry. Have you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
There's magic in the fair. The North Idaho State Fair, presented by Findlay Post Falls and ICCU, is doubling the fun in 2021. August 20th through the 29th, the North Idaho State Fair brings you 10 nights of carnival, fair food, live music, magic, and more. Enjoy family fun with daily contests and new circus acts. Don't miss the North Idaho State Fair, August 20th through the 29th. For more info, visit nisfair.fun. See you there.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, and now with two locations on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry and downtown on Main Street to better serve the community. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in 2021, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry and downtown on Main Street. Coldwell Banker. That's the power of blue.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer may be yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. Say hello and welcome with me to Dr. Soren Isparescu. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I call you Dr. Soren. I also call you Dr. Rescue. we both have a quick announcement, and I'll let you go first, Dr. Soren, with this incredible comedy night coming up.
Well, we decided to put on a benefit for Kinderhaven. Those that don't know, Kinderhaven houses children in emergency situations. They're mostly funded by donations. So wonderful cause, and we're bringing out a very funny comedian. He's been on TED Talks. He's been on HBO. We saw him on Dry Bar Comedy. His name is Kayvon Moise. He's got a movie coming out this fall. Anyway, super excited. He's coming out to Sandpoint. So tomorrow at the Sandpoint Event Center at 7 p.m., I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you want to get there by 7 to, yes. I don't know, get a 6:30. Ticket or get 6:30, yes. Get a good seat.
Yeah.
So 6:30 tomorrow, that's Wednesday evening at the Pondere Event Center.
No, not Pondere, the Sandpoint Event Center.
Oh, the Just Sandpoint,
the old high
me.
School there, yep.
Yes, 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 the Sandpoint Event Center. All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I am continuing to let people know about the Walk with the Doc. This is such a good thing. It's just one of the best ways. It's only once a week, but it's one commitment that you can make per week to have a good walk. I'm thinking that maybe this Thursday, the air quality might not be good enough. If it's over 150, you can check it. Then the walk won't happen. I also want to let you know that this Saturday, Dr. Jenkins, a local cardiologist, is going to walk at 8:00 in the morning at Traverse Park. So it's kind of an extra Walk with the Doc coming up this Saturday with a cardiologist. So if you want to be a part of that, you are welcome. Well, folks, I want to kind of let you know a little bit more about my guest. You know, he has his own broadcast here at Blue Sky Broadcasting on the third Monday of every month. He has always guests and interesting topics, but there are probably some things that you don't know about him. And I don't know, you've been on so many times with me in past years. I'm not sure the last time I reviewed this, but I want to remind you that Dr. Soren is double board certified in anesthesiology and pain management, and he is the founder of the Sandpoint Pain Clinic and co-founder of the Spokane Pain Clinic. And you work with a lot of doctors and a lot of medical service providers here in town, kind of partnering up with them in pain management, right?
Right, because pain is one of the most common complaints for any provider, physician. That's like, I forgot, like a third or a half of your visits have to do with some sort of pain. So
yeah. And one of the things that I have always liked about you and admire in you is that you have a very holistic approach. You, when you talk to your clients and your partners, you include perhaps chiropractic care or nutrition counseling or massage. You look at different modalities to meet the whole need of the patient, because we're not all, the same thing all the way through. And I think that's great. And that's one of the reasons I like having you on, because I get to talk to you about not so much pain management, though I think what we're going to talk about affects pain.
Absolutely.
Good nutrition and vegan, which we both believe in, but just if people can get toward vegan. So you are truly talented, and I appreciate your being here.
Thank you so much, Barbara. And it's an area I'm really passionate about that, because I think a lot of Western medicine, we kind of plug up holes. Yeah. If you're bleeding out, we can sew you back together. If you have a heart attack, Dr. Jenkins can, do a stent and get you taken care of. But how much better to walk in the park,
right,
and exercise? And I know Dr. Jenkins is a big believer in, proper diet and health. And how much better to not have that heart attack than to have the world's greatest treatment for a heart attack?
Yeah.
So that's
prevent.
Really
it's yeah. So much better to prevent. Or if you do get into some trouble, to have more than just a pill to take, but to have kind of a lifestyle to get you back on track.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Our big topic is intermittent fasting. We're just going to go right there. First of all, let's help our audience understand what intermittent fasting is.
So in contrast to just regular fasting, so most people just think of fasting as you don't eat food for a time period. And again, that's in all the religions, whether you go to Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, fasting is a part of it. So fasting is not eating for a time period, but intermittent fasting refers to doing some sort of period of not eating on a regular basis with eating in between. So, you know, like Jesus didn't eat for 30 days and 30 nights.
40,
yes, I woke up super early. Yes, 40 days and 40 nights. So that's like a, you know, we definitely do not recommend that. But an intermittent fasting, maybe doing it 12, 16 hours a day, or some people even do every other day, eating, not eating. So that's what the intermittent refers to, eating during a certain time period and not eating for a certain time period.
A couple of questions in right then. You mentioned there's one way where each 24-hour period you could fast for, say, 16 hours and then eat for 8. Mm-hmm. And or you could not eat on Tuesday, say, from dinner to dinner on Wednesday or mm-hmm. Monday night to Tuesday night, but then eat again. So you take a whole day off and then eat. Is one better than the other, or is it just kind of which one you're the most comfortable with your lifestyle?
Well, let me just say this. When you start fasting over, I think, around 3 to 5 days, you can get into a lot of medical problems and it can actually be dangerous. So, and I should say this off the bat, if you have heart disease, kidney disease, certain autoimmune diseases, you should really consult your healthcare professional before trying the fasting, especially a prolonged fast, because if you do a prolonged fast more than 3 to 5 days when you reintroduce food, if you do it too quickly, people actually even die. Mm. So you got to really reintroduce food slowly and simple foods and work your way up.
So extended fasting is, that's really not what we're talking about.
Yes.
2-3 days.
Yeah.
We're talking about either a day and then eating again for X amount of time or in any 24-hour period. Which one do you practice this and which one do you do?
Yes. So I'm more of a fan of, and I think it works much better for me and I feel better of doing the 16-8 program or 12-12. And what that means is you spend 16 hours of the day not eating and then you eat during an 8-hour window. And again, just to clarify that, that doesn't mean you eat for 8 hours straight. It just means you eat two meals during an 8-hour period, within an 8-hour period.
I think we may have to say that again because I read a blog or something somewhere. They said, fast for 16 hours and then eat anything you want for 8 hours. And I'm like, I don't think that's the right way.
When you really understand this, the key to it is lowering your store of sugar in your liver. Let me back up. Your body cannot burn fat if your body has sugar available. Your body will always choose carbohydrates, sugar, over fat.
Stored fat.
Stored fat. So really part of what you're doing when you eat, you're storing the food, and then when you fast, you're taking the food out of storage. And if you're trying to lose weight, you got to take a little more out than you put in. If you're trying to maintain, then you just want to balance those. But that's really the key. And part of this, the beauty of this is lowering your insulin level, because insulin makes you fat. It's inflammatory. It causes joint pains, aches, and it's a growth hormone. So you really want to limit how much insulin you do. So that's part of the key to me in this thing. And so going back to your question, which one's better? For me, it just feels better to do it, you know, on a regular basis. There's a lot more physiological changes as you do these extended fasts. And then some people find they binge eat then on the mm-hmm. time that they don't. Yeah. Whereas I think if you kind of get your body on a regular program, I think it's much more doable. I saw a doctor in Spokane that I hadn't seen in a while and he'd lost a bunch of weight. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm eating one meal a day.
Oh,
dinner.
One
and
meal
I said,
a day.
Yeah. And I said, do you watch what you eat? Do you not eat dessert? Whatever. He's like, nope. I eat whatever I want, one meal a day.
So would that be a really big meal? I mean, 2,000 calories or I just...
I assume it's a bigger meal, but yeah. Again, how much can you eat at one meal?
At one meal, yeah.
If you just enjoy that one meal a day, then like we were talking earlier, you don't have to be quite as careful and precise about every little...
Well, let's take the 16-8 pattern. 16 hours where you're not eating, but we can be drinking water,
yes.
But not juice, because juice is not only
sugar.
High calorie, it is straight up sugar. You don't want to eat or drink anything that's got a calorie load to it, but you can drink water.
Yes.
Unsweetened tea.
Right. And some people say coffee. I'm not a fan of coffee for other reasons, okay. But
as long as it's black coffee, I would assume.
Yeah, with no sugar.
No sugar.
Because really the key is these carbs. Because let's say your body is getting close to going into, you know, taking, burning your stored fat. But you give it sugar, well, guess what? Now it just turned off that system. And if you gave it a lot of sugar, then your body's going to crank up insulin. And
which is a storage factor. I mean, you eat, you get too much, then the insulin says, oh, you can't even bring this up quick. I think I'll store this for you.
And we talked about this, I know last time I was on the air, but really one of the problems in the Western diet is we eat a lot of processed sugar, which basically gets absorbed very quickly. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, bread does the same thing because your body turns it into sugar. So when you eat these processed sugars, your sugar goes up very quickly. And so therefore, your body thinks it's got this big, huge sugar load coming at it. So then your body responds by throwing a lot of insulin at it because your body doesn't want to have high sugars. So it throws all this insulin at it. Now, pretty soon it overshoots. And so pretty soon, if you, you know, drink a Coca-Cola for breakfast, you know, 2 hours later, your body is, your sugar is dipping because that sugar, the insulin made it go down. And so you feel shaky and you say, oh no, I'm hypoglycemic. I have to eat every 2 hours.
It's to spike back up. Yeah.
Well, and how much better if you ate, say, like an apple that has a lot of fiber in it. So then that sugar gets released slowly over a longer time period.
So the 16 hours of the fasting part of your day really truly is fasting. It's not eating just a little bit of something that you
think
is okay. I read somewhere that 100 calories, if you consume 100 calories, you broke your fast.
Yeah. And
anything sugary, anything, yeah. It's going to break your fast.
You broke your fast. I suppose if you ate a couple of blueberries or something, that wouldn't be as bad. But again, you want to get high fiber foods, and those high fiber foods will release the sugar more slowly. So think of it almost like a time-release medicine. It just time-releases the sugar instead of just candy, all this processed junk that we all love to eat. It just spikes your sugar in.
Well, let's get to the fun part then. Let's turn our attention to the 8 hours that we can eat. You said that you eat two meals during the eight-hour period. You talk to a colleague who has one meal during whatever period of time he's consuming food. Give us some examples of, could it be a three meal during that 8 hours? It could be three, probably, but you're not like grazing and snacking and continually taking in food, right?
No. For full disclosure confession, my wife teases me that sometimes at the office you end up having food. But yes, the ideal is you don't want to graze because then that just, you know, think of it almost like a washing machine with your clothes. You don't like throw your dirty clothes in there and then turn the machine on and, you know, 20 minutes later find some more and throw them in there. It's like your body's designed. You chew the food, it mixes with your saliva, it goes to your stomach mixes it up and then it shoots it through your intestines. And that's how digestion, if you keep throwing stuff at it, you're like halting and having to go back to the beginning. And that's when the problems, you feel like, I mean, all of us have had those days where you're lazy, you're on vacation, you're just eating all day. You feel terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. These are some of these questions, if they're too, I don't know, too detailed, that it can be more relaxed than this. But let's say the 8 hour period is 10 in the morning to 6 at night. I would struggle with that because I'm not really quite ready to stop eating at 6 o'clock at night. So could it be noon to 8 or is 8 too late because it's too close to bedtime?
Now,
how do you work it?
Dr. I know Gundry in his book talks about not eating 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed. And one thing is, and we can touch on this later, that's a topic I was saying. We tend to think of a calorie as a calorie. Well, a calorie is not a calorie because it also depends on your body's hormonal system. And part of that is calories that you eat at night count more than calories you eat in the morning. And there's lots of studies and data on that.
I have. You know who Dr. Greger was I heard one of his videos and it disappointed me. That was about a year or more ago. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not a breakfast person, but I'm trying to change it.
Yes.
10. I try to eat by 10.
And you don't want to eat late at night because there's like one study I know they did is they take college students that all experiments are done on college students because they'll do anything for a dollar or for a snack or something. But they gave them one meal a day of 2,500 calories and they either gave it in the morning or at night. And the ones that got it at night gained weight. The ones that got it in the morning maintained. So it is very interesting that your body's able to use it in the way the hormones are in the morning. Whereas at night, your body thinks it's going to go through a fast, so it's starting to hoard the calories and hang on to them more. And so when you eat late at night, it's a good way to gain weight.
You know, just to encourage our audience, you know, some of you, whether you're morning people and you eat in the morning, you don't, or you do like to snack at night, I don't want you to be discouraged. I mean, really, it's just a question of slowly trying to be diligent or be intentional with what you're doing with your food and how you're taking it in. And little steps, right, Doc? Little steps, if you can begin to back it away out of the nighttime eating and maybe get something in the morning, a bigger meal in the morning, it'll be good.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I mean, none of us are perfect. We all fall and we all do things, but I think it helps to have the ideal. And then one other thing, if somebody say they really struggle with the midnight ice cream run, well, why not then do a midnight, you know, cut up an apple and eat apple slices.
What's wrong with that statement? It's not midnight, it's ice cream. That's the problem.
Both of those are bad, eating at midnight and ice cream. But it's so good, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't keep ice cream in the house for that reason. All right, we're up against a break. Can't believe it. We're going to do that right now. Don't go away.
It's time to hit the open road, so make your first road trip to Specialty Auto Glass to get your windshield in tip-top shape. Heat, air conditioning, road vibration, or even closing your car door can cause the smallest rock chip to suddenly spread across the entire windshield. Specialty Auto Glass can repair or replace your windshield at your work, home, or any convenient location. Stay safe this summer with a visit to Specialty Auto Glass off Highway 95 in Ponderay. Specialty Auto Glass.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
Bring your friends and family to Wings Over Sandpoint, the 15th annual Sandpoint Fly-In event at the Sandpoint Airport this Saturday. The fly-in breakfast starts at 8 a.m., sponsored by the EAA Chapter 1441. The plane exhibition is open from 8 to 1:30 with a wide variety of aircraft. Admission is free for Wings Over Sandpoint, a showcase of Sandpoint's proud aviation community, this Saturday at 1101 Airport Way. For more info, go to granite-aviation.com.
Surround yourself with incredible people, food, and drinks at the Fat Pig in downtown Sandpoint. They are currently hiring pantry, prep, and line cooks, as well as dishwashers. And with their willingness to train, it's a great opportunity to learn the industry. The Fat Pig provides a fast-paced, fun, and team-oriented environment with competitive wages and perks. Head to the Fat Pig on 3rd and Cedar Street in downtown Sandpoint to apply today.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Everybody, welcome back in. Our guest today is Dr. Soren Isparescu. He is a doctor with, or the founder of the Idaho Pain Clinic. Is it called the Idaho?
Yep. Yeah.
Idaho Pain Clinic, co-founder with the same another pain clinic in Spokane, and a colleague here at Blue Sky Broadcasting. All right, you mentioned before we went on the air about One calorie is not equal to one calorie. Calories have different personalities. And so tell us the good calories.
That's right. And that's why, actually, when you said that, just made me think of something. Because a lot of people talk about when you're young, you're able to just eat and weight just magically flies off of you. But as you get older, you're eating less and you still feel like you're struggling to maintain your weight. And that's because we tend to think of calories in two buckets. You tend to think of calories in, and then you think of calories out, which is how much you exercise. And so we really think of your weight as kind of this balance between these two. But there's a third bucket, if you will, and Dr. Jason Fung talks about this, a third bucket that is calories stored. And so based on the hormonal, you know, response of your body to certain foods, your body will decide how much of those calories to store and how many of those to keep. So that's why you may even be cutting. And I get patients tell me this all the time, look, I don't really eat a lot. But based on your body's hormonal state and what you're eating, your body will make that decision. And let me just kind of jump to the conclusion that, which is insulin is a storage hormone. So if you have high insulin, your body's going to want to get fatter. And so I think I quoted a study before that they did of taking diabetics and increasing their insulin to a very high dose of 100 units a day. So they took these diabetics, they cut their calories back, so they calorically restricted them, but gave them a ton of insulin. So even though they ate 300 less calories a day after 6 months of getting the high dose insulin, they gained 20 pounds on average. So you really don't think of that because then your body has these buckets. So say you eat 2,000 calories, your body, say, ideally would burn all 2,000. But if your insulin is high, maybe it's going to store 500 and burn the 1,500. So you're actually net gaining calories. And that's where you'll see, like, a calorie is not a calorie. We kind of have this sense like, oh, you got to just cut calories in a, you know, 100 calories of a soda is not 100 calories of an apple.
Right. So some of the foods, and I kind of hate to say we're going to cut out, because really, you know, you're invited to someone's home, you're not going to say no to the scalloped potatoes or whatever. But what are some of the things that we would want to de-emphasize in our calorie bucket and some that we want to emphasize? You've mentioned apples already. Apples better than apple juice. Oranges better than orange juice. Any natural fruit is better because of the fiber and the low glycemic glide that it has than the juice. So give us some other ideas like that of the, I hate to say good food, bad food, but better eat this, not that.
Yeah, certainly whole foods. And now, you know, vegan was kind of a buzzword, but now they call it, a lot of people are calling it whole foods, plant-based diet.
Right.
So obviously those whole foods are ideal. So, and again, if you're really concerned about sugar, obviously vegetables have less sugar, so you're going to get less
fruit.
Of a
than fruit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, certainly, those foods you can eat in high amounts, and it's not going to really move your sugar. They got lots of protein and lots of antioxidants in them. So those.
You know, I can hear all the people out there celebrating right now, like, oh, okay, great, I can eat all the cabbage and broccoli I want.
Go ahead.
But it's true. You can fill up and you do develop a taste for it.
And it grows. And, you know, I tell people you don't have to like every food. You just have to find the foods that you like. Some people are like, I hate, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, then don't eat that.
Garbanzo beans. There you go. So I'm like, that's okay. But just find other healthy foods that you like. So there's no rule that says you have to like every food out there that's natural and good for you.
Find
I don't
the
like
healthy
beets.
Food. Yeah. Oh, I love beets. Find the healthy food that you like and then go with that. What about repetitive? Like you kind of get, this is the squares of food. This is what I eat. And I just eat the same thing over and over again. Is that okay?
You know, it's interesting because I know when they talk about eating kind of a boring diet, you'll actually end up eating less. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to a restaurant and they got all these new foods, you're tempted, or say a buffet, the worst, right? Mm. Why are you eating more? Whereas if you eat the same sandwich every day, you know, you'll just eat that sandwich and be satisfied instead of, there's an argument to be made for eating a more boring diet. But I think when you're eating plant foods, mm-hmm. you can pretty much eat all you want.
And color. You want to go for lots of different color and you'll get a lot of different food then.
Yeah. And so the foods you want to avoid are, you know, in general, I think plant products are healthier than animal products, but the worst animal products are the processed foods. like processed meat, like hot dogs and you know, some of those hamburger mixes and all those
or
kinds of things.
Or sandwich meats, the bolognese and the pimento. Do they still make that? I don't even know if they make it anymore.
Yeah.
Pimento loafy stuff.
Yeah, so those are the foods you want to avoid. And then, of course, our favorite, everybody's favorite of all the processed sugars and crackers and breads and all those kinds of things that are, they really, your body just turns them into sugar and then has to respond with insulin.
So anything that goes to sugar fast, you know, people could Google high glycemic foods and they're going to see a long list of things, you know, including things like peas and carrots and corn. So not that we're putting those in the bad category, but put those into the wise. Use wisely or use in moderation because they're high glycemic, right?
Right, but they have fiber. So when you eat a whole food like that, it has that kind of offsets it. So I wouldn't tell people to be afraid of peas and carrots or even apples and grapes. And if you're not diabetic and you're healthy, your body can handle it.
Right.
Be afraid of that candy bar and the sugary drink.
Yeah, the obvious stuff and the processed foods.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that this is the number one question. As soon as people find out that I'm vegan and they say, well, how do you get your protein? You know, you're not going to get enough protein. I like, look at me. Do I look like I don't get enough protein? So answer the question for our audience. Where do we get our protein as a vegan?
That's funny. There's a movie called Game Changers. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, actually funded part of that. And it's interesting. It focuses on athletes. And one of the things they talk about, they have the world's strongest man on there. And they say, you know, when you say somebody's strong like an ox, what does an ox eat? Right? It just eats plant food. So really, the animal we even kind of say is a stereotypical strongest animal. By the way, the biggest animal on the planet is an elephant, the land animal, and they're a vegan. So it's really kind of a fallacy to think of where do you get your protein. So they did a I know there was a study done on how much protein you actually need. And I mentioned this. There's a very exciting paper to read online. It's about 50 pages of the exact all the different amino acids. But essentially what it comes down to, as long as you eat a halfway normal diet, you're going to get plenty of protein. And I know one of the things – you know, your body can make certain amino acids and others are called essential amino acids and you have to get them. But they point out if you ate 2,000 calories of tomatoes a day, do you think you would get enough protein if all you ate? And the answer is yes. If you ate 2,000 calories of rice a day, would you get it? Yes. If you ate, you know, 2,000 calories of apples a day, would you get it? So as long as you're eating, you know, when you see people starving back, when you see, you know, starving in Africa or some of these places, they used to see those kids on TV. Those kids are just, you know, malnourished. They are not getting the calories they need. It's not a matter of they're not getting the protein.
Right.
In America, we get about twice the protein we need and half of the fiber we need. So really the question should be not where do you get your protein, where do you get your fiber?
Yes. Well, where do we get our fiber? And let me – well, let's stay with protein for a moment. What are some of the – we've said tomatoes and rice and, you know, they all have protein in it. So if you're eating a variety of that whole food plant-based, beans, quinoa, they all have – some have higher, others have not as much, but they all have protein. Broccoli has protein in it.
Yeah, broccoli, they say pound for pound has more calories than beef – more protein than beef.
Really? I love broccoli.
So there you go. Broccoli is a superfood. It's in the cruciferous family. And so,
what
again.
What about Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, they're
That's
in the cruciferous.
That's another love that I have. I love
super
Brussels
healthy.
Sprouts.
The cruciferous. Cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Those are all cabbage. Those are all super healthy.
And they're also high fiber.
That's right.
Because you eat them in the whole. Even if you steam them a little bit, they still, the fiber, they maintain their fiber.
That's right. So it still has that fiber. And we can talk about fiber later. But
no, we can do fiber right now.
Well, the only thing I was going to say about it, a common complaint of people as they get older is constipation. And part of that, you need, you know, at least three things for that. You need a GI system that works, motility, but you need fiber in there. And you got gut bacteria that they feed on that fiber and it creates the bulk. And then you need water to move things through. But that's even a, you know, when somebody's eating all protein, they're constipated.
Yes.
And
a high fiber diet is good for every part of your system.
That's right.
Going in and the coming out.
That's right.
What about gut bacteria? You mentioned that, you know, is it really necessary to take probiotics or prebiotics, or I don't eat yogurt anymore because it's dairy. What about gut bacteria that we need to know about as a vegan?
I think I may have used this analogy last time, but I think of a fish. I have a little fish tank, and you can put all the right things in it, but if you're not maintaining the water, if you're not doing the maintenance on it, you're going to get the wrong bacteria. So yes, you can introduce the right bacteria into your gut, and that may be important initially. But if you feed it the wrong foods, you're going to kill off so the analogy is, if you have bad water for your fish, they're still going to die. Even if you keep putting the best fish in there, if you don't have the right environment for them, they're going to die. So that's where I think if you're sick, you can certainly take a probiotic, and a lot of people argue with that. And that's a whole nother topic, but yeah. You know, they do fecal matter transplants where people are really sick, but then they get a transplant of somebody else's
healthy bacteria.
And they've done studies on rats where they gain weight by changing their gut bacteria. So, but I think for me, if you're eating a high fiber plant-based diet, you're going to encourage the right bacteria to be in there. And if you feel you're sick and you want to take a probiotic for a month or a week or whatever, you can kind of do that transition. But I don't think, if you're eating a healthy diet, I don't think you need to be on probiotics all the time.
That is really good. I think that's really good information. If you're eating a healthy diet and you're drinking good water, lots of good water, keeping yourself hydrated, you know, your body will respond, and you're exercising and sleeping. I mean, we can throw in a couple of other things. Your body will regulate itself. It will regulate its own weight. You'll be able to sleep better. You'll have the bacteria in your gut you need. You'll be thinking clearly. It just all starts working, doesn't it?
Yes. And I believe God designed our bodies that way, where if you take care of it and, you know, you read, you know, you eat, you give it the food it was designed to have, it's going to work much better for you.
I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, last week I did a show. We did kind of skin health, mostly facials and different kinds of treatments. And it was outside, and it was kind of beauty oriented, but it was also health oriented in that it makes you feel good about yourself. It gives you confidence, and it's very relaxing, as you know, to get a massage or a pedicure. So if that's what floats your boat, then go do that, and it will contribute to your mental, physical, and spiritual health. And eating is the same thing. It isn't just about getting food in, and it's a spiritual thing. We are tasked to take care of our bodies, to be good stewards. And when I was teaching and doing ministry and ladies ministry, the number one reason, by far, way out of any other reason, that women didn't come, couldn't make it to the conference or whatever, they were sick. Hmm. Or their husband was sick, or their child was sick, or their dog was sick, but somebody was sick. And it's just, we are so much better with our families and our churches and our friends and our work if we're healthy.
That's
and
right.
This is one way to do it, to eat right.
When you go to a medical conference, it seems like the first slide on any medical problem is how many billions of dollars this costs the economy,
yeah,
you know, and lost.
Exactly.
Whether it's back pain or diabetes or depression or whatever. Suicide, you know, they always give you stats on how much it costs the economy. And so you're right. When you're sick, that's downtime.
It's downtime for everything. Everything that's worthwhile, whether it's kayaking or whatever it is. All right. We are way past our break. We're going to take it right now, and we'll be right back.
It's time to dust off those cowboy boots and get ready for the Bonner County Rodeo. The rodeo returns to the Fairgrounds Outdoor Arena on Friday and Saturday, August 6th and 7th. Bring the entire family out for all the traditional PRCA Pro Rodeo events, including bareback, steer wrestling, team roping, barrel racing, bull riding, and so much more. Free sale general admission tickets are just $15 for adults, $8 for children. You can purchase pre-sale tickets at the Fairgrounds office, Les Schwab, North 40, Carter Country, Columbia Bank, Woods Hay and Grain, and Sandpoint Superdrive. Don't miss the PRCA Rodeo at the Bonner County Fairgrounds August 6th and 7th. Get your pre-sale tickets now at Les Schwab, North 40, Carter Country, Columbia Bank, Woods Hay and Grain, and Sandpoint Superdrug, the Fairgrounds office, or online at BonnerCountyFair.com.
Everyone has something they've dreamed about doing but never had the time or money to make happen. Like tie-dyeing poodles for sport, becoming a harmonica tuner, or a bologna sommelier. But now, with the life-changing $200,000 Carefree Cash Payday at Northern Quest, you could live whatever dream you dream up. Or just pay off the family car. Either way, I know what I'd do. See details at northernquest.com. Everyone has something they've dreamed about doing but never quite had the time or money to make happen. Like skydiving naked, becoming a butterfly therapist, or an Olympic breakdancer. Well, now with the life-changing $200,000 Carefree Cash Payday at Northern Quest, you could live that dream. Or just pay down the mortgage. Either way, I know what I'd do. Hit it, Gary. See details at northernquest.com.
See it live. Hear the thunder. Feel the excitement. The malicious monster trucks are here live.
This Friday and Saturday night at Findlay Stadium in Post Falls, Stateline Speedway is
bringing you the next generation of monster trucks. Rockstar, Spitfire, Cali Kid, Identity Theft, and more. Come early for a ride in a monster truck. Hold on. It's going to be wild.
Get reserved tickets at raceidaho.com.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans and your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. Even if you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.com.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We're talking with Dr. Rescue here, Dr. Soren Ispirescu. He is the founder of a pain clinic, but he has a holistic approach to his practice and to his clients. And today we're talking about intermittent fasting. So one question I have is, give us an example. You eat twice a day during this 8-hour period, and then you fast for 16 hours. What do you eat on a typical day? Like, kind of break it down for how many calories and more or less what you eat in those two meals to give us an idea.
Is this ideal or is this real?
No,
real
this
life?
Is, well, yeah, this is kind of.
So for the most part, we're vegan. We do make exceptions at times, but And because of my work schedule, it changes on the weekends. But let's say ideal breakfast options are like oatmeal or a smoothie. And again, I try to put the kale, like you said. It's hard to eat a lot of kale, but you can put that in there, and blueberries and raspberries and flaxseed. So I try to that I think is the optimal breakfast. Oatmeal is another superfood that has lower your cholesterol, low in calories, high in fiber. Lunch. Oftentimes, I'll try to get a salad, and I'm kind of a boring eater. My wife loves, fancy prepared
food.
Well,
she's the chef.
That's right. So for me, I'll just like, kale with a little, dressing on it. And then, this is an ideal. I don't know if I'm proud of it, but like Trader Joe's little bean, can of beans.
Sure.
Some of those pre-prepared foods, because I'm too
kind
lazy
of spiced to up a little bit.
So again, beans are another superfood. Like soups, potato soups, things like that.
I know you told me one time that you and your wife and maybe all of your family eat a large salad almost every day. You have a big salad with different things that you put into that salad. And I have found that I like that also. I do use romaine, but I always throw in spinach and sometimes some kale. So tell us again about massaging our kale. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but
we actually got it from, we went to a restaurant and they actually said on there the food item said massage kale. If you just eat kale it's really hard to chew, and it seems like it's a lot of work to eat kale. But if you, and not, you don't have to massage it for half an hour. You just like take it and just work it in your hands a little bit, and it softens it, and it's a lot easier to chew and to eat.
Either that, or you can just throw it in a smoothie and let your vitamins
do that.
Do
but
all the massage.
It really doesn't take, like, my wife makes a kale salad, and it's always a hit. It's also the dressing she makes. But that, you know, what she does.
I need to have her on again. I had her on a few years ago, and oh my gosh, her recipes were wonderful.
She's an incredible cook.
She is.
You know, she's a lawyer. She's got a music degree. She's done all kinds of stuff. But she says, if there's one topic, I don't think anybody could take me on it. It's cooking. She loves cooking. That's her hobby.
What about powdered protein? Sometimes I find that I have powdered protein in the house, and I use it in my smoothies. Is there a pro or a con to using? There are so many varieties now in vegan powdered proteins.
I think a lot of people get really obsessed with protein. And like I said, the World Health Organization did this, that 50-page study I was talking about that's as boring as could be. But they point out you only need females about 47 calories, males about 52, grams of protein a day, which really isn't that much, which if you're eating a halfway normal diet, you're going to get the protein. And the issue with protein is if you get too much protein – Like we're talking about, your body can store fat, your body can store carbohydrates and fat, right? Your body converts that into glycogen and then turns into fat. So your body can store as protein, your body can't store. So when you get too much protein, your body's got to get rid of it somehow, and that can be hard on your kidneys and can have other consequences. So I am not a fan of getting tons of protein. So I tell people just get enough protein, which I don't think you need a supplement.
So maybe powdered protein if you think you need it to throw in a little bit for a smoothie. But no, just eat a variety of vegetables and fruit and beans and quinoa, and you're going to get all the protein you
need.
That's
right. And I think nobody in the West is starving for protein. I mean, only people that are dying of cancer or HIV or something like that, they're – nobody's protein deficient in America. Very few are.
Right. What about water? We need a lot of water. I think that many people don't understand that they are dehydrated. And that's a part of your body being able to absorb the nutrients that you're taking in, right? That you need to be hydrated.
That's right. But ideally, you don't want to drink a ton at your mealtime, but if, like me, oftentimes you're dehydrated, you'll end up drinking too much at mealtime. But absolutely. And another kind of weight loss trick, if you will, is make sure you drink enough water, because oftentimes you think you're hungry, but you're actually thirsty. So if you drink a glass of water and wait 5 minutes, your quote-unquote hunger may go away.
Yeah.
So water's super important to stay hydrated. Your body's mostly water. You and a watermelon have a lot in common because you're mostly water.
My body's mostly water. My brain's mostly fat. I don't know. It's a serious issue here. We had a question when we were on break dealing with sauerkraut and lettuce. I mean, is sauerkraut just one more of those good foods that we can fill up on and eat from time to time, and it's healthy because it's fermented?
Yeah, and some of the bacteria in there, I think that's the argument that can be beneficial. And again, like I said, there's nothing harmful. It's just, you know, cabbage and salt. So there's really nothing detrimental there. Some people may argue about the fermentation, but, you know, now kombucha, all this stuff is super popular that it helps your digestion. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And I grew up eating, my mom used to make it, so I grew up eating it. It's great.
Does your wife do the crock of sauerkraut in your kitchen, or do you buy it commercially, or not that much?
We actually don't eat that much because she doesn't like it. So I just eat whatever she makes.
Okay. I like it. What about lettuce? We talked every day. I try to have a salad. It is primarily romaine, but there's also some spinach and kale that gets thrown in there. What is that good? Is it what are the better components of a salad?
Sure. So the two ideal ones are kale. So the cruciferous family, kale, cabbage, and then spinach. Those are like the ideal. So romaine, and especially iceberg, has like minimal nutritional value. So I would, if you have a choice, make sure you stack on your salad bar the spinach and the kale.
Yeah.
And
you know, Doc, you know what the problem is with being as good as you are? You get invited back. So We're going to have to, we'll do this again, but I'll give you a break so you can take care of your clients and your patients. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. All right, that's the program for today. Come on back next week. We're going to get back on track with some politics. We have two ladies here that want to talk to you about politics. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care of yourself and God bless you.
K246EU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT, Sandpoint, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Shaking investors' concerns. Yeah, speak for ourselves. We've got plenty of Clorox on the set, I can say.
Although I will say, when you talk about Clorox and some of these inflationary pressures, Romaine, it was Brian Levitt of Invesco just saying that he's really looking for some of those pressures to ease tomorrow. So continuing to trade in this market that.